This is A Course in Miracles Radio, a program for students and teachers of the complete and annotated edition of A Course in Miracles from the Circle of Atonement, a nonprofit sharing the spiritual path of the Course since 1993. A Course in Miracles Radio is hosted by Robert Perry and Emily Bennington and can be found online at circleofa.org.
Hi, I'm Emily Bennington with the Circle of Atonement, and this is A Course in Miracles Radio. I am in the studio today with Robert Perry, the lead editor of the complete and annotated edition of A Course in Miracles, and my co-host on this podcast. How are you, Robert?
Hi, good.
So today we are talking about an article that Robert wrote called A New Vision of the Miracle, which you can find at circleofa.org/2. Got to warn you, though, this one is a little long. The copy that I'm looking at is 25 pages. We will not be covering all of that in the podcast today, but we're going to take the highlights of it because this is a very, very important topic for students of the course. This whole notion of, if we're studying a book called A Course in Miracles, what is a miracle? You want to pick it up from there, Robert?
Yeah. I'll start by saying that at the time I wrote this, I was realizing that I didn't have much of a relationship with that word, miracle. Here, A Course in Miracles was my path. I was a student of the material. I was a teacher of the material. And you could hardly ever hear me utter the word. And yet, it's the thing this course is trying to teach us. So, if we're students of the material, we need to form a relationship with that word. We need to be shooting for it as what we're trying to learn, if it is A Course in Miracles, which means we have to be clear on it.
Can I ask why you avoided it?
I think why I avoided it was I had a general understanding of it, but I think my understanding of it, based on the language later in the course, which is more poetic and you know, sometimes quite extreme, my picture of it was that it was a rare occurrence and that to qualify as a miracle, something had to be like
spectacular.
Almost, yeah, mm-hmm. Almost biblical in proportions. So what happened for me was I was editing the CE, spending time in Helen's notebooks, and I saw in those notebooks certain incidents from Helen's life or Bill's life labeled by the author of the course as miracles. And that seemed incredibly important because here were actual incidents called by the author of the course miracles. So this promised to give a kind of a clarity that was almost too good to be true to that word.
Because it was so attainable?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like surely, if there were a series of instances like that, examples called miracles, surely we could get super clear on what a miracle is.
So we don't have to wear a robe that people touch and get healed.
Well, actually, that's what turned... No. And I think before launching into...
That's example number 9.
Yeah. Before launching into the article, we should say that, you know, what the conventional wisdom is.
Yeah.
The conventional wisdom in Course in Miracles circles, which goes back to, I think, Helen and Bill, you know, is that a miracle is a shift in perception. The course, that makes sense. The course is all about the transformation of our perception.
From fear to love.
From fear to love. So that the idea that a miracle is that event or that moment when our perception does shift from one to the other, that makes a lot of sense. I also hear course students talk about miracles in the sense of something basically serendipitous happening in their lives, something turning out really great where it looked like it wasn't going to, and we often use the word miracle for that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like a healing, like a physical healing of some sort, or just a lucky break in the day?
Lucky break in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more that second thing. Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot. So if we had actual examples that the author of the course called miracles, then we could just dispense with all the uncertainty and maybe dispense with the understandings that we have had. But it's better to have his understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's his course. So what I did was I ended up collecting 14 examples of things he called miracles or clearly implied were miracles and used the word in that implication. There are more than that, and I haven't filled out my list in any exhaustive way, but there are at least a few more. So what I noticed was that as I compiled them was that they kind of fit a certain pattern. But before talking about what that pattern is, I feel like I should, I mean, there's 14 examples and we can't go through them all. I want to at least draw out one at some length.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the article, that's number 4.
But before we go into that, if we know that the conventional wisdom of what a miracle is a shift in perception from fear to love, then do you have a new definition of what a miracle is that you want to discuss before we go into this example?
I do have a new definition, but not that I want to discuss before going into the example.
Okay, let's just go into the example then.
Okay. So the example is the Shield Report. And what's happening here is the miracle principles are being dictated, and they come upon what in the CE, and I think in the FIP, is Miracle Principle 24. And 24 is, miracles are part of an interlocking chain of forgiveness, which when completed, is the atonement. This process works all the time and in all dimensions of time, meaning past, present, and future. So the main thing is they're part of an interlocking chain of forgiveness. What does that mean? And so at that point, the author said that a very good example of how this is accomplished is the time you, meaning Helen, rewrote the entire report for Esther for this place called the Shield Institute for Retarded Children. And what had happened was this. Esther had written a report trying to secure funding for the Shield Institute from the National Institutes of Health, okay? But Helen thought the report was very bad. And so she took it upon herself, and it was not her responsibility to do this, to rewrite the report in Esther's name. And there's the very clear implication in the things that Jesus says about that report that Helen's rewritten report did succeed in securing the funding. And Helen did it because she cares or cared about this organization. It served children, and back then they were called retarded children. I mean, that language isn't really used much anymore. That was Helen's professional specialty. She cared
her
about
passion.
The children. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she cared about them receiving the help that they needed, and therefore the funding was a big deal. And about 4 or 5 times in this discourse about the Shield Report, Jesus calls Helen's act a miracle. Okay, miracles often take the form of an act of kindness, and you see that in these examples. Sometimes it's just something that's generally a simple act of kindness. For instance, a miracle that would have been a miracle, but actually it didn't happen, Bill didn't do it, was he had just had some kind of friction with a co-worker, Dora, and he and Helen were waiting for their taxi. And I guess Dora needed a taxi too. And Jesus said that Bill should have offered to let Dora share their taxi.
Mm.
And even if she had said no, because maybe she was going a different way or whatever, it was the thought that counted. And it would have been, the implication is it would have been like a peace offering. Like they just had something happen between the two of them, Bill mm-hmm. and Dora. And this would have been a way to say, you know, we're clear, we're good.
It's an interesting thing to think about how many miracles we don't perform that just
right.
disappear into the ethers. That would have been an opportunity to express love, but...
And what was interesting about the taxi example with Dora was that Jesus said because Bill didn't do that, they had to wait an unusual amount of time for a taxi to come for them. And he said, if he had done that miracle for Dora, they would have then, he would have availed themselves of the time-saving device of the miracle, which, and the form that would have taken would have been a taxi would have shown up very soon.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that's fascinating. So, wait. So, if we miss an opportunity to perform a miracle, then things might not work out as good as they could have otherwise?
Well, that's the exact implication, because the miracle is a power and it saves time. And in this case, the time it would have saved was time waiting for a taxi.
Oh, wow. So, if we go through our day in various states of love lack and things continue to go wrong, then by this definition, we are creating that for ourselves based on our behavior and our thoughts.
That could well
be. Our chain of miscreation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That could well be.
Fascinating.
It's really fascinating. Yeah. Okay. So the next category is miracles often take the form, in these cases, not of acts of kindness, but of a helpful message given to someone else. It was very striking to me how many of these 14 stories were basically something someone said, something Jean Dixon, the astrologer, wrote, or something Mrs. Albert, who was a mutual friend of Dave Diamond's, something she said in the hospital. A lot of the examples were statements. And is it a surprise? Because what we're going to see is that as in a miracle, it affects, well, we've already seen this, it affects the perception of the recipient. And words are some of the most powerful devices we have for affecting the perception of others. Words have a psychological power. And so a lot of the examples of miracles are just statements someone made. We can do miracles with our words.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it just grounds how simple and achievable it is, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think we know, I mean, there have been so many times when we've said something or someone said something to us, and we know those moments are important. Certain things that are said have a big impact on that person's mind and can be very healing. We know that. Why don't we do it more?
Yeah, because we've all had those examples of something that we said changed the state of the other person.
Yeah.
And it was through nothing. It wasn't some spectacular act. It was through something that we said.
Just our words. Yeah. Okay, the miracle is often designed to undo something done in the past, either by the miracle worker or by someone else. And I'll go through this quickly because I know that we're probably using up our time. But we saw that with the Shield report. Helen gave the miracle, and supposedly she undid things that she had done in some distant past and had been carrying around presumably for centuries. Okay, next one, the miracle returns to bless the giver. And that shows up in some of the examples. And one of the examples of that was with the taxi thing with Dora. That would have returned to bless Bill if he had done that miracle. Okay.
But even if you,
Go ahead.
But even when you think of the example that we just gave a minute ago about you say something that is kind and loving, that has a healing effect on someone else, that also in turn has a healing effect on you. So that's an example of how the miracle returns to bless the giver. So you said something that was loving, but you in turn feel their love back towards you, and it becomes a blessing on you. And yeah, that's the cycle.
And that's the core of it, but there is the clear implication and statement that it also takes a form, at least at times. So it's the psychological feeling, you feel better inside, but things happen on the outside.
The taxi comes faster.
Yeah. Right. And for instance, lesson 345 in the workbook says very plainly, the miracles I give are given back in just the form I need to help me with the problems I perceive. That's clearly suggests something physical happening.
Yeah, form.
Yeah, right. Form, problems. Yeah. Okay, so I tried to craft a definition of miracles based on these examples and based just on these 14 examples.
Oh, are we getting to the definition now?
I can take longer to get there if you'd like.
I know you can.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to pull out of this because I'm losing. Okay, here's my definition based just on those examples. The miracle is a gift from you to someone else. usually in the form of an act of kindness or a helpful verbal message. It is designed to help the recipient, especially by changing the recipient's perception. It is motivated by an impulse from a deeper part of your mind, and its specifics should be guided by the Holy Spirit. Though a gift to someone else, it will also bless you. It will undo something hurtful you have done in the past, and it will return to you, often immediately, in some form that helps you with your own needs. Now, that's what we can pull from those 14 examples, and that fits the definition, even though I don't include that in here, that fits the definition he gives for the miracle over and over and over again, something like 7 times in the text, and that is miracles are expressions of love. Right? This is the expression of love model.
So miracles are expressions of love, and then you tack on to that, that have a healing effect on another.
Right. Because that's what expressions of love do. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you express love to someone, are they completely unmoved and it has no effect on them? No. Love, it's healing to receive love.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it is such a reframe that you don't hear very often in course circles. It is widely accepted that a miracle is a shift in perception from fear to love. And I love, I know I sort of pick on you for taking a while to set the table, but I love how thorough you are in making a case, because by the time you come to the conclusion, the case that you've built is solid and it's grounded in the text and grounded in evidence from the text. And so you can't get to the end of the article that you wrote and really read it and disagree with the way that you define miracles. It is a new vision.
You know, I wish that were true. That's not how it really works. But what I will say is we have such an overwhelming case for the fact that his main usage of the word miracle is this expression of love idea. You know, he says that exact phrase, expressions of love, in defining miracles over and over again in the text. Here we've got 14 stories, and all of them are the expression of love model. It is true that that other meaning, that miracles shift our own perception, it's almost like, you know, the Holy Spirit's performing them on our mind, just like we are giving miracles to other people. That's an important part of the Course's thought system. It's just not the main part. So if we're talking about a word that's used hundreds and hundreds of times, shouldn't we primarily honor the main meaning it has and secondarily honor the secondary meaning it has?
Yeah, and it also makes you wonder, you know, what do people come to spirituality for? And to a large degree, it's for personal reasons. It's to find peace for themselves. It's to settle the snow globe thinking in their own mind. And that's important to have that personal purpose for spirituality. But there's this whole other side of it, too. It's the interpersonal. And that's really, I think, what we're being called to in this definition of miracles is to extend that love.
Yeah, and the Course has a huge emphasis on that extension, and that emphasis has almost been read out of it, I think, by Course students.
But it's read out of, I mean, my larger point is that it's read out of spirituality in general. Like, how often do we think of spirituality as, I'm in this to be loving, I'm in this to love someone else? It's more about, I'm in it to find my own personal peace.
Right. And having to attend to the needs of others can seem to get in the way of that. And yet the point the course makes over and over again is it's that peace you're looking for. It's only by giving it to others that you will really receive it. And this is being backed up by a huge body of social scientific research being done these days that shows that there is a profound psychological effect that comes from giving, from being a giver. People find giving more rewarding than all kinds of things we think are bigger prizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think spending money on yourself and spending time on yourself is the ultimate. And they find that in actual practice, when people spend those things on others, they end up happier.
Mm-hmm.
And the Course knows that. It's built around that truth.
Yeah, I think I shared with you at one point the happiness set point, that there's this theory that everyone has this set point of happiness that's based on the genetics that you inherit from your parents and experiences that you had in your formative years. But whether you can do things like win the lottery or fall in love and your happiness set point raises somewhat, or you can have sustained unemployment or some devastating loss and your happiness goes down. But it typically comes back to this set point. But one thing that scientists have discovered is that there is something that will sustainably raise your happiness set point and keep it there so it doesn't just sort of snap back to where it was before. And it's altruism, it's giving, it's love, right? That has been, to your point, the science is demonstrating that we can raise our happiness through love.
Yeah. And the Course is so much. That is at the heart of the Course. In fact, one of the most repeated phrases in the Course is giving and receiving are the same.
Hmm. Okay, so that feels like a good place to end, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, well, Robert, thank you once again for this article and for really, I think this can be a profound shift in the Course community of what a miracle is. I mean, it's amazing to me that we have this book called A Course in Miracles, and there is no clear consensus on what a miracle is.
Well, there is a consensus, but it may not reflect the book.
Well, fair enough. Touché. Robert, thank you. All right. If you would like a copy of this article, A New Vision of the Miracle, please go to circleofa.org/2. On behalf of all of us at the Circle of Atonement, I'm Emily Bennington, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to A Course in Miracles Radio from the Circle of Atonement. To learn more about the complete and annotated edition of A Course in Miracles and our course-based training programs, please visit circleofa.org.